So, topic for this week on Chaye Sarah is actually not about the life of Sarah as much as it's about the life of Abraham, since Sarah disappears in the beginning of the parsha. But if you take a look at the opening piece here on the sheet, this is after Abraham does his whole negotiation to get a grave for Sarah. Of course, he gets Ma'aret HaMachpelah and the area where the cave is located. So if you look at the psukim here, Vayakam HaSadeh V'HaMe'arah Shabo L'Abraham L'Achuzas Kavar Me'eis B'nei Ches. The field and the cave all goes to Abraham as a burial site from the Chiti. V'Abraham Zakein. Then the next paragraph in the Chumash begins, and Abraham was Zakein. He is old. Baba Yamim. And he has entered his days. He has reached old age. V'Hashem Berachas Abraham Bakol. And Hashem had blessed Abraham with everything. So the Medrash here is bothered by something in that second pasuk. How old is Abraham at this point in his life? 137. Abraham is 137 because Sarah is 127 when she dies. Abraham is 10 years older than Sarah, therefore he's 137. You know he's 10 years older because she was 90 and he was 100 when Yitzchak was born. So that 10-year gap stays the same. So Abraham is 137. Now you tell me he's old. He's been old for a long time. Not only has he been old for a long time, but he's been called old for a long time. Right? Sarah called Abraham old 38 years ago. So why does the pasuk here say, and Abraham was old?
Maybe he has another meaning?
Like?
Wise?
Now he's wise.
Well, some kind of like, yeah, like you bury your wife and like it's like you're ending a chapter of your life.
Right. So the Medrash Tanchuma goes along those lines and says in source number 2, Kishemesa Sarah kapsa zikna al Abraham v'nikra zakein, that when Abraham buries Sarah, at that point, yes, aging, as it's put here, kapsa, it leaps on Abraham, it's out of nowhere, and now he is called old. It's the loss of Sarah that does it, which is really striking when you think about it in terms of the narrative of their lives. Meaning, you don't find, you know, in general in Tanakh, descriptions of affection between spouses. It's not really there. You find Vayehav Yitzchak es Rivka, right? Or Vayehavel, you find that Yitzchak loves Rivka. But you don't, it's not like that kind of conversation ever shows up. Abraham and Sarah, though, have been through everything. I mean, from leaving Ur Kasdim and then leaving Haran in order to go to Canaan, to the whole business with Paro, right, in Mitzrayim, when they went down during the famine and Sarah was taken, and then, you know, the inability to have children, and Hagar, and getting, you know, Hagar leaving, and then Hagar coming back, and Yishmael versus Yitzchak, and then Abimelech again. Like, they've been through everything. And so you can imagine what this is like for Abraham. You know, this loss of Sarah is, there's more to be said about it in terms of the dynamic between them, because Abraham is the Navi and Sarah is the recipient of Abraham's message always, right? Hashem says to Abraham, Lech Lecha. And Abraham says to Sarah, God said, we should go. Right? When Hashem wants to criticize Sarah for laughing, right, Hashem doesn't talk to Sarah. Hashem tells Abraham about it. Abraham's always the Navi. But Sarah's the one who's carrying everything out and carrying the family in many ways. And so you can understand this medrash that with the loss of Sarah, Abraham ages. And I just brought that in the beginning because I think it's something that's worth reflecting on, is this whole dynamic between Abraham and Sarah. But it's not where I wanted to spend the next 50 minutes of the shiur. What I wanted to look at is actually what you see in number 3. Because Abraham has been old, as I said before, for a long time. Old in his own mind, and old in the minds of those around him. If you take a look at the sources there in number 3, and this was why I had mentioned in the email that it would be a good idea if anyone wants the English to bring it, because I didn't put it there. I started here in source number 3 with a pasuk from Lech Lecha, from Bris Bein Habsarim, when Hashem makes his big covenant with Abraham, or he's Avram at the time, and tells him what's going to happen to his descendants. But Avram says to God, "Vayomer Avram, hein li lo nasata zara, v'hinei ben beisi yoreish osi." He says, "I don't have any kids, And Ben Basi is a reference to his servant, to Eliezer, right? He's the one who's going to inherit from me. Now, at this stage, Rispein Habasarim, Abraham is, anybody know? The answer is it's not clear. I mean, don't be surprised at not knowing. It's very unclear how old Abraham is at this point. We know he's 75 when he goes to Israel. So if you assume that we follow the Torah in chronological order, he's at least 75 years old at this stage, and likely older than that. And we know that he's not yet 99, because that he's going to be 99 when he does the Bris Milah at the end of the Parsha. Somewhere in there. Which means he still has 75 to 100 years to go. In terms of his life, although whether he knows that or not, you know, is another story. But what's the mentality of someone who would say that to God? What is he thinking?
No, I disagree. I think they all talked about inheriting in that time. It was like a standard, who will inherit me? I know you're going to say that like, he must think he's old and dying because he's talking about his inheritors. But...
Right, because I think that it's true that inheritance, look, has always been, you know, something on people's mind. But the idea that God comes to him and says, I'm going to take care of you, and his first thought and his only response that he says to God is, but I don't have an heir, and so I think that Eliezer is going to be the one to inherit from me, bespeaks, if not a feeling of being old, a feeling of, I'm at the end of my line in terms of being able to produce an heir. I need to tell God I'm in trouble at this point. It feels like Abraham is, if not feeling old, at the very least worried about becoming old. That's the way I would look at it. I'm trying to think if you have a case of anybody in Chumash or in Tanakh, for that matter, talking about their, you know, prospects for who's going to take over for them at an earlier age. And I can't think of anybody who discusses this earlier in life. It feels to me like Abraham already has a concern. But it becomes more blatant a couple of chapters later. Take a look at the next line there in number 3. When Hashem tells Abraham that he's going to have a child, right? Vayipol Abraham al panav vayitzchak. Abraham starts laughing. Not just like laughing, but like out of control laughing. He falls on his face laughing. Vayomer bilibo, and he says to himself, halaven me'ashana yivaleid. Come on, I'm going to be 100 years old. I'm going to have a kid. Vim Sarah bas kishim shana teleid. By the way, Sarah's going to be 90. He doesn't feel like having a child is in his future. He says, I'm too old for that. And then you get Va'Avraham v'Sarah zekeinim ba'im ba'yamim, right? The very next story, the story with the malachim who visit and say you're going to have a child, and we're told explicitly they are zekeinim, they are old. And Sarah, of course, laughs and says, Vadoni zakein, my husband is old. But we're not done. Yitzchak is born. The fourth line in source number 3. Sarah gives birth to a son in Abraham's old age. In case you had forgotten that he was old, in case you forgot that he said he was old and that Sarah said he was old, by the way, we'd like to point out that he's old.
I didn't realize they mentioned Zakan so many times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Is he the one person to have they mentioned
Zakan? I believe so. But it gets better. After this, just 5 sentences later, we get Sarah's reaction to having a child. Mi milel Abraham heniga banim Sarah. Can you believe it? Sarah will be nursing a child. Kiolatati vein liz kunav. I have produced a son in his old age. And then, of course, you get the pasuk we started with in number 1. V'Abraham zakein. Right now, you really understand why the Medrash is surprised that you're saying it at this point, because we've already said it 6 times. And then when he dies, Vayigva Vayamas Abraham Beseva Tova, Abraham dies at a good old age, Zakein Vesaveya, Zakein and full.
Is he the one that they say the first one to age?
So that's part of where we're going with this. Abraham, this is, you know, 8 different times, especially, you know, if you accept the initial one. Why do I have 8 on my sheet but only 7 lines on this one? Because I did Yud Aleph and Yud Beis together. Yeah. That's why. Okay. But you have all these times where Abraham is described as being old. Right? So again, happy birthday. Not only that, but we actually track his age. We track his age. We're going to find out numbers all along the way. If you take a look at the fourth source, I bring you the times when the Chumash actually goes out of its way to tell you how old he is. Beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha, they go to the land of Israel. Va'avram ben chamesh shanim b'shivim shana b'tzeisel mecharan. He's 75 when they leave Haran. And then, Va'avram ben shmonim shana v'sheish shanim b'letas hagaris Yishmael Avram. Avram is 86 when Yishmael is born. And then, he is 99 years old when Hashem gives him the mitzvah bris milah. Vayi Avram ben tishim shana v'sheish shanim. And then we are told again, Va'avram ben tishim v'sheish shana b'himolo b'sar alaso. In case you forgot from 23 sentences earlier that he's 99 years old, we're going to mention it again. He's 99 years old. And then finally, he's 100 years old when Yitzhak is born, and of course when he dies, we're told that he's 175. So, my question is this. I don't know of anybody else in Tanakh who gets this kind of description, where we're going to place so much emphasis. We talk about the age of others. We mention how old they are at times. So we know, for example, that Yitzchak is 40 when he marries Rivka. We know that he's 60 when Yaakov and Esav are born. Like, we get numbers here and there, but not with this kind of detail. Right? Moshe, who we know so much about, the only thing we really know from the Psukim is that he's 80 years old when he goes to Paro, and he's 120 when he dies. That's all you got. How old was he when he ran away? I don't know. It says that he had become big, Vayigdal. So one measure says he's 20, another one says he's 13. But we don't actually have any information. With Avram, we're tracking it all along to find out how old he is and emphasizing that he is this old. So that's my question. What's the message in focusing so much on Avram's age?
But it's only in the last quarter of his life.
Good. It's not the last quarter.
The last.
He dies at 175.
Right, last
100 years.
It's the last 100 years of his life. I love the sound of that. Sort of last 100 years. I mean, you know, because I think we've discussed this on other occasions, that there is extremely little basis for the whole 120 limit that you're aware of.
No.
I do not mean to tell anybody they should stop saying "I may have Esrim Shana." You can still say "I may have Esrim Shana," but going no, it's not. It's not from Moshe. There's very little basis for it, and there's clear basis against it. The Tosfos, for example, did not believe that there's any such thing as a 120-year-old limit. And so on. I mean, the Briskers are very against anybody saying "I may have Esrim Shana." They don't like it at all. The basis for 120 is one of two things. Either at the end of Parshas Bereishis, we're told "V'hayu yamav me'av esrim shana." Hashem says, "I'm sick of human beings. They do terrible things. Their days will be 120 years." However, as Rashi notes there, it doesn't mean human beings will live to be 120, because everybody after that lives to be way more than that for a very long time. Rather, what it means is there are 120 years until the flood. The other place that people use is when Moshe dies, he says, "Ben me'av esrim shana anochi hayom." I am 120 today. So on that, the Medrash that Rashi quotes says that Hashem completes the days and years of tzaddikim. So people think that means 120 must be a full life. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is his birthday. He dies on his birthday. Zayin Adar at the beginning, Zayin Adar at the end. It's not it's not that 120 is a full life. The proof, of course, you know, Aharon is 123, Miriam is 126. But as you go further and people continue to live longer than that after Moshe, you recognize that there's no like artificial Moshe limit. The Tosos that I mentioned is a much later discussion. Tosos is talking about Rabbi Akiva's possible son, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. There's a discussion about who lived when and how long and so on. And basically what happens is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi gives Rabbi Shua ben Karcha a bracha. He says, "You should live to be half my age." Which at first sounds like, oh, it's a really nice bracha from someone who lived a long time. But then you stop and say, well, wait a minute. A bracha to be half of someone's age isn't good unless that person has lived a really long time. What do you mean you should live to be half my age? And so as part of the calculation, Tosa says, well, he must have been at least 140 when he gave this bracha, because otherwise he's telling him he should live less than 70 years, you know, standard lifespan. And Tosa doesn't blink. He doesn't say, and that can't be because no one lives past 180. Okay, so I guess he was at least 140 when this happened. It's not even like a question. So the fact that people do it, they should continue to do it, they mean well, it's a nice bracha, and God willing, we should live that long. But going back to this, yes, it's the last 100 years of Abraham's life. It starts only when he's 75, and I think that's significant. I don't think that's a random thing. I think that's a piece of why we're going to see this focus.
His whole life changed. I mean,
what do you mean?
He lived the first 75 years as one thing, and then like it's completely different after that.
True. And therefore, we need to track now when he's 86, and when he's 99, and when he's 100, and when he's...
No, but maybe he had like two lives, like his before and his after.
That's true.
Like he actually had a kid, and he thought he would never have a child.
Right. That's true. What happens afterwards is entirely different. He has a good second career. Right. That's for sure. There's more to this. So let's look at some midrashim, which I think pick up on this and give us something to work with. First of all, source number 5, Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, on the pasuk of Abraham Zakein Babayamim, that pasuk that we had started with. When we're told that Avram is Zakein Babayamim, entering his days is the best I can do to translate Babayamim. It means entering old age. But Ksiv, they quote your pasuk in Mishlei, Ateres Tiferes Seva, age is a crown of splendor, Bederech Tzedakah Timtza, it is found in the path of Tzedakah. That's your pasuk. If you want context for it, take a look at source number 6. Number 6, I brought you the psukim that immediately precede the pasuk in Mishlei and will help us to understand what's going on. The immediately preceding psukim talk about bad traits. It says, Ish tapuchos yishalach madon v'nirgan mafrid aluf. A person who is a person of tapuchos. Tapuchos means reversals. A person who commits to one thing and then decides he wants to do something else and he betrays the commitments that he's made. Such a person, yishalach madon, creates fights. Ish Hamas yefater re'ehu, a person of Hamas, of violence and theft, will fool others, v'halicho b'derech lo tov, and lead them on a bad path. Otzeh einav lachshov tapuchos, a person who squints his eyes to plan reversals again, to plan betrayals, karetz basav kila ra'ah. These are all about people who are dishonest, people who don't stick to what they said they would do, people who try to trick others. And then you get the pasuk that source number 5 has from Mishlei, which says, age is a crown of splendor found in the path of tzedakah. What does that mean? So first of all, the word that's used in Hebrew there for age, that I translated as age, is seva. Seva is more than just age. It's like gray hair. That's seva. In the English, they always translate it as a hoary head, right? H-O-A-R-Y. And I don't really know what that means, but it means white is what it means, like hoarfrost is what it's like. It means white hair. So the white hair is a crown of splendor found in the path of tzedakah, suggesting that somebody who practices tzedakah will merit to have the white hair that is a crown of splendor. That's the idea. You follow? Some of us just get like a white half an eyebrow, but the other people get a full head. So the Medrash continues to explain the idea that white hair and age come through tzedakah. Rabbi Meir Aza Lamamla. Rabbi Meir went to a place called Mamla. Ra Osan Kulan Shchori Rosh. And he found that everybody there had black hair. Now, the point is not that they had black hair as opposed to blonde hair. The point is that they were
young.
So you might look at that and say, oh, that's so nice. There's so many young people. But that's not the message. The message is no one is surviving their youth. That's the idea. So Amar Lahem, he says to them, Tomar mi mishpachas beis Eli atem. He says, tell me, are you from the house of Eli? Eli, the Kohen Gadol, in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, the one whose house was cursed because of what his sons Chafni and Pinchas did. Part of the curse is that those who come from his house will die as anashim, as young men. So, is that what's going on here? That they haven't made it out of their youth because they're subject to this curse? Amrulei, Rebbe Hispalel Aleinu. They say to him, our master, you should daven for us, please. In other words, they acknowledge that that's the truth, and that's why they are dying young. And so they say, daven for us. Omar Lahem, to which he replies, forget asking me to daven for you. He says, L'chu v'tiplu b'tzedakah. What you should do instead is engage in tzedakah. V'atem zochim lezikna, and then you will merit old age. Matameh, on what basis? Our pasuk. Kateres tiferes seva, ve'echani mitzvya v'derech tzedakah timtza. You will merit this crown of old age when you engage in tzedakah. How do you know? Mimia talameh, the end of source number 5. How does he know that that's true? May Avraham shekasuv bo v'shamru derech Hashem la'asos tzedakah u'mishpat. Because with Avraham, the pasuk says, Hashem says about Avraham that his descendants will practice. Avraham is going to teach them to practice tzedakah and justice. Zachal zikna, so he merited old age. V'Avraham zakein ba'bayamim. That's the message of this medrash. Parenthetically, I didn't translate the word staka all along. How would you translate it?
Righteousness.
Okay.
Charity.
So, doing good. Okay. Generosity. So the answer is that staka can be rendered either way. Staka can be righteousness, and staka can mean philanthropy. Usually, I would have said, look at the pasuk in source number 6, look at the preceding psukim, which talk about being corrupt and talk about harming people. And I would have said, stuck here is like tzedek. It means to be a righteous person. It doesn't necessarily mean to be a giving person. That's not necessarily what it means here. And in fact, I brought you source number 7 because I love this quote so much, and it fits well here. This is the Netziv's introduction to Chumash Bereishis. The Netziv, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the last Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva, wrote, among many other things, the Hamek Davar commentary to Chumash. And in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, he asks a question. What other name is Sefer Bereishis known by? Yeah, it's right in there. Sefer HaYashar. Sefer HaYashar, the book of the righteous, the book of literally the straight. I did straight instead of righteous just because he's going to use the word staka and he's going to use the word yashar here, and at a certain point you have to differentiate. So I took yashar the way it means when you ask for directions in Israel. So yashar means straight. This book, he says, this is just my translation. I omitted the Hebrew in the interest of space. This book is called Bereishit, but it is also called the book of the straight, the yashar. God is straight, and he will not tolerate such righteous people, meaning who are not straight, unless they walk a straight path in their worldly matters as well and do not act crookedly, even altruistically. Such conduct causes the ruin of divine creation, the destruction of civilization. And this was the praise for our patriarchs, that aside from being righteous, pious lovers of God in the extreme, they were also straight, meaning they acted thus with the nations of the world, even worshippers of ugly idols. They were with them lovingly, they were concerned for their benefits, supporting the world, as we see how our ancestor Abraham threw himself on the ground to pray for stone, and so on. His emphasis is that a person has to be yashar in dealing with everyone, and that's the model going back to Avraham, hence Avraham getting the title of being yashar. And from that perspective, I would have said, tzedakah means tzedek, to be righteous, to be honest. However, everyone takes this as being about tzedakah. All the commentators here take it about tzedakah. They point out what the Medrash points out here about Avraham telling his kids la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat as a basis for this, and it makes sense in terms of defeating the curse on the house of Eli. Right? Alina can't answer this because we just discussed this in the shiur at her house, the Thursday afternoon shiur. But for everybody else, what's the avera that leads to this curse? What did Hophni and Pinchas do wrong that leads to this?
The women after childbirth,
So that's right. That part is unclear. There's a clearer part that leads to that. You're right. That's one point. At one point, that is mentioned, but there are three other places where it mentions a different avera, which is what leads to that one as well. They take from the karbanos. When people bring a karban, they say, "Wait, we're grabbing ours." And not only do they grab theirs, they're entitled. They're kohen, and they're entitled to get a portion. But they insist on taking what they want and taking before any of it is put on the mizbeach. So, in other words, you brought your carbon, it was shafted, and wait, we're just going to take what we want. Then after that, God can have his, and you can take yours, and so on. And as a result, they also delay the women from being able to get back home, because the women who have come to bring offerings after having children are now stuck there, because You know, we're busy looking at your carbon to decide what we want before it can be processed. There's more to be said on that, as we discussed. But the but if so, then it makes sense that staka is the way to counter it. If the curse is because you took things you didn't have a right to, then the response to it is to give others from your own. And so that's the read of staka as philanthropy. That's the idea. Even though we have other sources that talk about other ways to defeat the curse, I brought you sources 8 and 9. I'm just going to say it outside because I didn't bring the English for you on it. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yuches, talks about potentially defeating the Gezerah via either Torah study or Chesed. Chesed fits with the tzedakah theme, but also through Torah study, and it tells you that Abaye and Rabba were actually members of the house of Eli. Rabba commits himself to learn Torah primarily, and he lives to be 40, which is considered to be defeating the curse. And Abaye also excels in Gemilas Chasadim, and he lives to be the age of 60. So that demonstrates that there are ways to get past the curse. And then the Rishalmi in number 9 has Rav Kahana help people by davening on their behalf. And so davening is another way to defeat it.
Old age?
Actually, I think he davens for himself. Sorry?
40 is considered old age?
Older than 18. Yeah. That's the idea. No, the idea is that they were dying at 18 and now they live to be older. They live to be 40. And yes, 40 can be considered old age. Sorry?
Young.
Yes. Yeah, I think so too. The
it's relative.
So what you're seeing, though, in this first medrash is a comment on Avraham living a long life with a suggestion that he lives to become old because of his tzedakah. That's how he gets to achieve not just age, but also how he gets to achieve seva, to have gray hair. He gets to have gray hair because of his tzedakah. That's one medrash. Then there's a second one. This one is harder. It's brought in a couple of places. I brought you the Gemara first in source number 10, and then for some reason I forgot to number the next one, but that will be 10b. The Ad Avraham Lo Haya Zikna. Until Avraham's day, no one aged. Now, that doesn't mean literally no one aged until Avraham's time. The Sushalach has to be 969 years old. I'm fairly sure he was old. It doesn't mean not aging. And it doesn't mean weakness or suffering, because that the Gemara discusses separately. What it means is visible signs of age. The idea that when somebody gets older, their body should demonstrate that they are older, says the Gemara, not until Avraham's day. And the result was people get confused between Avraham and Yitzchak. Because we're taught that Avraham and Yitzchak resemble each other, so a person who wants to find Avraham will find Yitzchak and talk to him. Because there are no wrinkles, there's no white hair, there's no way to distinguish between the two of them. Bahadei Yitzchak mishtoy bahadei Avram. People wanted to talk to Yitzchak, would talk to Avraham. Asa Avram boi rachme bahava zikna. So Avraham davens, and Hashem says, okay, I will give you signs of old age. V'Avraham zakein ba bayamim. And that's why the Pasuk says that Avraham demonstrates age at this point to avoid confusion with Yitzchak.
I thought it came naturally after the Dor HaMavel, or there were certain things that happened. They actually had to plant and work for the field. There were weather temperatures that changed. That was part of it.
So there are changes after the Mavel, but this isn't one of them, apparently. Oh. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to take this from a physiological perspective.
Right, like DNA really, breaks down.
I mean, yes, no, there are things that break down in the cells, the telomeres, and all of that. And you could give one answer and say, God changed the way things worked. And until then, cells did not have this buildup of material, and somehow or other, God says, okay, now things are going to work differently. You could take it literally, or you could say, this is trying to teach me something. There's a lesson that's meant to be learned here, and it's not meant to be taken on a literal basis. It doesn't bother me tremendously, one way or the other, Diana.
Like Avram prayed for it to happen, no?
Or yes. No, that's what it says. It says Avram asks. Hashem says, that's a great thing you asked for. Sure.
Sickness until the transit of Yitzhak. Is that true?
Right. So that was what I meant when I said this isn't talking about being weak or ill or anything like that. That's going to be Yitzhak's request.
He's visible.
So
it's just, he's
correct.
Still feeling good, but he just looks as if he's...
Right. It's kind of the opposite of what you now see people do.
Yeah, right? You look like you're the worst. You feel
marathon.
Right. There's a medrash that adds to this and gives us a little bit of more understanding of what's going on. Because frankly, the idea that people, you know, call up Avraham and end up talking to Yitzhak, like, so what? Why is that a thing? Why does that bother him to the point where I need to look older than my son? So if you look at that source that, again, I didn't number for you, this medrash adds some detail. Amar Yehuda bar Simon, Avraham tava zikna. Avraham requested from God that he should look older. Amar lefanav, he said, Ribono ha'olamim, Master of the Universe. Adam ubno nechnasin lamakom ve'ein adam yodei lami mechabeid. Says, you know, a father and son walk into a place and people don't know who they're honoring. They don't know to whom they should treat with, you know, greater respect. If the older one will look older, then people will know whom they should honor. Hashem says, Chayecha, by your life, Dover Tov Tavata, you ask for a good thing, and it's going to start with you. The Torah doesn't mention anybody becoming Zakein until now, but it does now. Now, that's not quite true. It's sort of true. Meaning, the Maharsha notes that in Sodom, when they attack Lot's house, it says, Minar v'ad Zakein. Right? So, from youth to Zakein, they did. We learned about the daughters of Lot last week. So they said in the cave, Avinu Zakein. Right? Our father is Zakein. But you could argue these are contemporary with Avraham. Maybe it's sort of after Avraham has made the request. Or you could say it just means their chronological age as opposed to appearance. But where is this coming from, this medrash? Whether you take the version in the Gemara that it's about who people will talk to, or whether you take the version that it's about who people will give respect to, how did they get this idea that Abraham requested it? What's the basis? I mean, the idea that there's a transition now, the idea that it changes now is clear. Right? The idea that it changes here is, after all, we don't find people described as Zakein until now. But where do you get the idea that this is something Avraham asked for? Where do you see that anywhere in the Pesukim? What's your basis for saying that Avraham asked for this? I think that's actually an important point. How does the Gemara know that Avraham asked for old age? If you look at the pasuk that, well, you can look at the back in number one. This is the pasuk they're building on. The second pasuk that's in number one. I think the evidence is there.
They blessed him.
Bakol.
Right.
With everything
he asked for.
Everything that Avraham has is a bracha from Hashem. And right after it says that he aged. Avraham was Zakein. Because Hashem blessed him with everything. As far as the Gemara is concerned, if Avram has it, it must be that God was giving it to him because it was something he wanted. It can't just be that this was normal, natural life that we're describing here. This must be a bracha. This is something Gemara does in general.
Why is it a bracha he asked for? It could be a bracha that he didn't ask for.
Right, it could just be a bracha he didn't ask for. That's true. You could still say that it wasn't something he requested. You could still say it. But I think the idea that the Gemara is really trying to convey with it is not so much the issue of his request as it is that this was something done to help him. This is something that Hashem does in order that he should benefit. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you point that out because it doesn't really mention to the extent how old Sarah was. She was only 10 years younger, but nowhere does it mention that many times about her.
Right. We only get with Sarah the reference to her being 90. When she gives birth to Yitzchak, and then 127 when she dies. We don't spend the rest of the time with Avram. We know when he's 75, we know when he's 86. with her, we don't get it, and we certainly don't get the emphasis of, you know, Babraham and Zakein with all those different times appearing for her. We don't get that at all. So your first medrash says Abraham merits signs of old age because of tzedakah, or he merits to achieve old age because of tzedakah. Your second medrash says that Hashem actually gives Abraham the signs of age as a bracha. We think of old age usually as, you know, terrible in terms of having the signs of old age. Not in terms of making it that far, but in terms of the signs of old age, we look at it as a bad thing. For Abraham, it's a bracha. And then last, the idea that Abraham does not live as long as he could have lived. If you take a look at source number 11, Abraham dies at the age of 175. His son Yitzchak dies at the age of 180. Says the Medrash, Abraham loses 5 years of his life. Vayavoi Esav min ha-sadeh, right? You know the story. Esav comes in from the field. Yaakov is making the stew of lentils. And the Medrash says it's because it's the Sudas Havra, the meal after Abraham has died. His father is an Avelos. He's bringing food to his father. So, Vayavoi Esav min ha-sadeh, Esav came from the field. Rabbi Yudin quotes Rabbi Eva, Rabbi Pinchas quotes Rabbi Levi, the Rabbanan quote Rabbi Simon, all saying the following. Atamotze Abraham chaya kuf ayin heishana. You find that Abraham lived to be 175. The Yitzchak kuf peh. Yitzchak lives to be 180. So, what they're asking you is, why is it that Yitzchak lives longer than Abraham? And their answer is, Elaosan Heishanim Shemana HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechayav Ibnei Sha'avar Esav Shtei Averos. And the answer is, Hashem took 5 years off of Abraham's life because he didn't want Abraham to see Esav go off and engage in various Averos. When the Pasuk says Esav came from the Sadeh, it's actually because he was killing people, he was stealing, he was doing all sorts of terrible things out in the field, and Hashem said Abraham shouldn't have to see that. That's the idea. So Hashem says, I'm going to take his life 5 years earlier. What's the evidence to support this? Where does this medrash get this idea from?
Because he's a righteous person. Tzedakah he did.
No, but where's the idea that he lost 5 years of his life? His tzedakah was the reason why he lived so long. So now that Yitzchak outlives him, how does that help us? Right? Yitzchak, remember, is 100 years younger.
So he should have, Abraham really should have outlived Yitzchak, but the fact that he didn't.
But he doesn't outlive him either way, right? Because when Abraham is 175, Yitzchak's only 75. Maybe outliving him in terms of how long their lives were, yes, but they don't start at the same time. What's the evidence for this? This Medrash isn't just making it up. So there are two pieces that I've seen brought. The Sifrei Chachamim suggests that it's because when Abraham dies, we saw the pasuk earlier, it says he dies zakein v'saveya, old and satisfied. With Yitzchak, it says he dies zakein u'svayamim, old and satisfied with days. So there's a longer life to it. That in and of itself wouldn't be so compelling, but the Eitz Yosef notes something else. The pattern in these early generations is that the previous generations live longer than the next one. Abram and Yitzchak are the first to reverse that. Where Abram lives to 175, and then Yitzchak lives to be 180, it's going backward. Yitzchak is living longer. So it suggests that maybe Hashem actually sabotages Abraham in order to save him from seeing Esav's sin. But what we're getting here, then, is the following. Number one, the Torah's text stresses Abraham's age. And it stresses the fact that he's old, both when it's a plot point, like when it actually matters, like Yitzchak being born and he's 100 years old and it's amazing that that would happen, and when it has nothing to do with anything, like, oh, he's 99 when he has a bris milah. Right? That didn't change any aspect of that story. I knew he was old anyway. Right? What does 99 have to do with anything?
Nothing.
You could have just said, as it does, Yishmael was 13. It actually does say that. So I don't need any sort of information like that. The Torah is going out of its way to talk about Abraham's age. That's number one. Number two, the Midrashim see Abraham living to old age as a reward, but dying short of his maximum as a reward as well, and experiencing the symptoms of aging as a reward. So the question is, what are we meant to draw from all of this? Like, right now, this sounds like a little bit of a mess. I spent a lot of time trying to understand what I was seeing here, just sort of putting together the different pieces, until it finally hit me. Generally speaking, we view, number one, being old, and number two, deteriorating with age, and number three, God forbid, dying prematurely, in a very negative light. These are things we think of as bad. I think that's a fairly safe statement. We have examples of it, right? Yitzchak ages poorly, and he is blind and has this trouble with Esav and Esav's wives. Eli, the Kohen Gadol, is described as being blind and detached from what's going on in the Mishkan. Yaakov describes himself as having aged and having had a life that was too short, and Ma'at v'ra'im hayu yimei chayai, he didn't enjoy his life. You move ahead into Tehillim, it talks about old age as a time when one cannot achieve, and we ask Hashem, Al hashlicheni leit zikna, don't abandon us in old age. And then I brought you a paragraph here, which we're not going to go through in detail, but just it's a remarkable paragraph, towards the end of Koheleth, the part where nobody is listening anymore, whatsoever. Because davening is just really long on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and Koheleth takes a long time. So, right, it could be that there are people who have just walked into shul at that point, and therefore they're not listening because they're davening. But this this section here in Perek Yud Beis in Koheles is a metaphor for aging. Uzechores borecha bimei b'churosecha. Remember your Creator in your youth. Adasher lo yavo'u yimei hara'ah. Until the bad times come along. And he's describing aging specifically. That's what Koheles is referring to. V'yigiyu shanim asher tomar ein li b'hem chefetz. And the days come when you're going to say, I have no desire. I don't like these times. I have nothing that I want anymore. Adasher lo techshach hashemesh. Till the sun sets. The ha'or and the light, the ha'yareach and the moon, the kochavim and the stars, v'shavu he'avim achar ha'gashem, and the clouds set in after the rain. Bayom she'yazu'u shomrei abayis, when the guards of the house tremble, v'his avsu anshe ha'chayil, and the soldiers become weaker, uvalu'a tochanos kimi'etu, and the grinders cease because they are reduced, v'chashchu ha'ra'os ba'arubos, and those who look out through the windows have gone dark, and so on. What this is describing is a metaphor for aging. And that's what he goes through here. So the image of the light being gone, and the image of the grinders being gone, or the eyes and the teeth, and so on. He talks about all the things that happen to a person's body as the person ages. Age is generally viewed in a very negative way. And I say that not in terms of secular culture and the youth culture. I'm talking about within Tanakh. It's viewed as something to be feared and something to be upset about. But Abraham is the opposite. Abraham turns everything around. You know, as Stephanie pointed out, his career only starts at the age of 75. Right? That's when we meet Abraham. That's the first time the Torah tells us how old he is. Vaguely, he's part of a family that moved from or caused him to Haran, but we don't even highlight him at all there. Unlike his successors, right? We track Yitzchak. When do we meet Yitzchak?
He's born.
Before he's even born, right? We know all about Yitzchak, right? Yaakov? Also, Yaakov and Esav at birth, right? That's when we find out about them. You know, all of the Shvatim, they're tracked from birth. We know everything about them from the beginning. Abraham only shows up on the scene at the age of 75, and yes, Midrashim will fill in all sorts of details about his previous life based on little hints in Psukim. So he left Ur Kasdim, and Ur Kasdim with a furnace in Kasdim, he had been thrown into a furnace. But in terms of the narrative the Chumash is giving us, we are introduced to him at the age of 75. His most lasting achievements, what would you say? What would you describe as Avram's most lasting achievements? The ones that are remembered today in the greatest way.
God.
Oh, it's specific things, not just general being.
Monotheism.
Monotheism, maybe. Yeah, okay. Sorry? The tests that he passed broadly, but specifically the Akeda. Hachnasas Orchim.
Purchasing
Rasa Machpela? I wonder how many people think about that. This guy said. But in terms of specific events, I would say there are three things, and maybe you can throw in Chesed broadly as a fourth. Bris Milah, because everybody's doing it since he did it, right? The birth of Yitzchak, because that's what creates the rest of the Jewish people, and the Akedah, right? Those are the things that are the most enduring and lasting things that he does, and all of them are only happened in the Torah after he is labeled old. Only after he is called Zakein do we find him do all of these things.
So we still have a lifetime ahead of us.
Yeah, I think that's really it. And not only that, he has a life even after all of this, right? After we say Avraham Zakein, Sarah is buried, right? Then after Yitzchak gets Rivka, what happens next in Avraham's life? Vayosef Avraham vayikach isha ushma Keturah. Avraham marries Keturah. Right, Keturah, who may be Hagar, that's its own, discussion. And they have a whole bunch of kids. Medan, Midyan, Yishbak, Shuach, right? None of them are Yitzchak. They are their own people, right? We get the entire nation of Midyan from one of them. I brought you the Gemara in Yevamos in source number 13 because it's often brought in association with this part of Avraham's life where it says that even if somebody is married when young, they should still continue to get married when they are older. In the days of polygamy, I suppose that meant, whatever happened with the first marriage. Then after that, it changes. But if a person has children, they should still continue to try to have children. It's encouraged for somebody not to to view their life or a stage in their life as having ended, but to continue, which is why I thought this was really, I got lucky on. I thought to myself, this has to be tied into the pasuk Od Yunivun B'Seva. Somewhere it's got to say, Od Yunivun B'Seva Zu Avraham. So, handy-dandy Bar-Ilan database, I put it in search, and sure enough, take a look at source number 14, Baruch Shekivanti. The pasuk says, Shtulim b'beis Hashem b'chatzos Elokeinu yafrichu. It's talking about tzaddikim, and it says, they will be planted in the house of God, in the halls of, or the yards of, our God, they will flower. Od Yunivun B'Seva, they will continue to flourish in Seva, in this white-haired old age, Ze Avraham Avinu. Lo and behold. How do you like that? And then, Deshenim Vrananim Yehiyu, how they will continue to regenerate, that's by Yosef Avraham, by Kachisho Shema Keturah. That's Avraham getting married to Keturah. He continues to flourish, even as he ages. And you see it in various midrashim. There are so many midrashim that identify Avraham as the old man. I brought you one, more than a line. I was only going to bring you one line from source number 15. It's a classic story based on Hosea. And, there's a pasuk which talks about the Jews saying, we don't know Avraham. Avraham lo yadanu. I'm sorry, Avraham doesn't know us. V'Yisrael lo yakirenu. And Yisrael doesn't recognize us, but God, you are our God, you are our Redeemer. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Avraham doesn't know us. Yaakov doesn't know us. And it describes how Hashem goes to the Avos and says, you should intervene on behalf of your descendants because your descendants have sinned and they're going to get punished. And Hashem goes to Avraham, and this is the Gemara in source number 15, and says, Banecha chatuli, your children have sinned to me. And Avraham's response is, Ribono shel olam, yimachu akedushas shemecha. They should be wiped out for the sanctity of your name. So Hashem says that didn't go the way I wanted it to go. So Amar le Yaakov, I'll tell Yaakov, maybe he'll have mercy. So Amar le Banecha Chatu, he says to Yaakov, your children have sinned, and he gives the same answer. Ribono shel olam, yimachu akedushamecha. They should be wiped out for the honor of your name, the sanctity of your name. And Hashem says, Lo b'savi tama v'lo b'dardiki eitza. The old don't have wisdom. The young don't have wisdom. I'm going to go to Yitzchak instead. And Yitzchak is the one who defends us, as the Gemara tells the story. But I don't bring it because of that story. I bring it because Avraham is identified as the old man. In comparison with Yitzchak and Yaakov, even though once again, Yitzchak actually outlives him. But this is the identity that Avraham gets. So what I see here is that Avraham teaches us, I did not know it was your birthday, but Avraham teaches us to embrace aging. It means, as per the first medrash, that you've earned a long life. Number two, it brings respect, as his request that he should look old. And number three, in Avraham's world, and this is a very hard thing to say, I don't say it lightly, but in Abraham's world, even death is a gift to him, because it brings him freedom from the frustration and disappointment of seeing what happens to Esav. To Abraham, everything is a gift. Hashem berachas Abraham bakol. Everything is a gift as far as Abraham is concerned. And that includes all of the elements of aging which are so closely identified with him. And the lesson continues after his time. We all think of Rabbi Akiva, right? Because Rabbi Akiva starts at age 40, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is actually the better example. The last line I brought you here, number 16. Kol shnosav shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai me'av esrim shana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lives to be 120 years old. Arba'im shana asakta pragmatia. His first 40 years, he has a job. He's in business. He's also learning, but he's in business too. Arba'im shana lamad. 40 years after that, he's committed to study full time. And then arba'im shana limad. 40 years, he taught others. Recognize who Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is. Without Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Judaism after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash looks radically different. He creates all sorts of takanos, all sorts of enactments that are meant to preserve Judaism after we've lost the Beis HaMikdash. The Romans have destroyed everything. We've lost Yerushalayim. He's the one who's responsible for the growth of Yavne, which is what ultimately saves the Sanhedrin. Everything that we get comes from Yochanan ben Zakkai in the last 40 years of his life. He's already 80 years old. When he starts on this. And yes, he lives to be 120. But I think that that's meant to carry on this Abraham model that says that we should not look at the process of zikna as a curse and something to be feared, but rather look at it as something that is earned and that brings with it the opportunities for further achievement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a really important topic.